I'm going to continue, and we were talking last week and the week before actually about the pearl of great price, talking about Jesus actually in our lives and having him in our lives. And we were talking about living dangerously as a believer, if you remember. We talked about living dangerously and actually trusting the Lord, really trusting the Lord with areas. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it? When we're faced with difficulties, when we faced maybe it's finances or it's a relationship, we battle to trust the Lord and put our faith totally in him. And actually, that's what he calls us to, is to trust him. And that's living dangerously, because we can, then we're trusting on the Lord and we're tapping into the vine of Jesus. And we're not tapping into our own knowledge and understanding. So I want to continue with that. Just, you know, this living dangerously is not recklessly. It is, you know, not doing actually what we perceive is the right way. We've got a, in, and I mentioned last up, Judges 17, verse 6. It talked about in that time in Israel, they did, they said what they, what everybody did, what they felt was right in their eyes. And sometimes we can live life like that. We can just do what is right in our own eyes. But we need to be doing not what we perceive as good. We need to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. And we need to know what the Lord wants. You can't do what the Lord wants unless you know. And you might say, like, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do. I need to make a call. I need to make a decision. But actually, if we go to the Word of God, there we will find what the Lord wants. And there's the basis of his will is there in the Word of God for us to see. And so if you like thinking, well, what should I do in the situation, get grafted in to Jesus. Find out what he wants. Get into the Word. Let the Word saturate you so that you can make the right decision, so that you can actually die to that area and make a decision that is actually the Lord's decision. So we're going to continue. So I want to pose a question, and I want to we maybe just explore it a bit more. And so this could be the title, is the life of Jesus evident in our lives? Is the life of Jesus evident in your life? And do people see us, or do people see us just living for ourselves? Is the life of Jesus evident in our lives? Because as believers, we don't live quietly in our Christianity. You know, nobody knows that we're a believer. There's an aspect of us that shows that we trust the Lord. You know, is there evidence enough to accuse you? Are you guilty of reflecting the Lord? Are you guilty of reflecting the Lord in your workplace? Are you guilty of reflecting the Lord in your relationships? The way that you treat your wife, the way that you treat your husband, the way that you treat your boyfriend, girlfriend, does that reflect something of Christ? Or does that just show you that them that you live for myself? Is there enough evidence of the life of God in us? And, you know, it's a tough one because, you know, sometimes we've got to say to those that we love, are there areas in my life where I don't reflect Christ to you? And that's a tough question to ask. Especially, Kegwin, often in my life, I don't reflect Christ all the time. I don't live every single moment in my relationship to Kegwin where I'm Christ-like. Hopefully it's the majority of the time. But there is times, actually, where Kevin will say to me, you're not reflecting Christ to me. And there's immediately got to be an adjustment in my life and saying, yes, I want to actually please the Lord. I want to honor the Lord? You know, so it's actually a good question. I asked it, to my daughters over the years, and it's a tough question, you know, to ask of someone to find out, actually, do I really reflect Christ to you in my relationships? You know, or are you immune to the gospel? Because as if the gospel has hit your life, there's change. If the gospel has truly impacted your life, there's change, and there should be a progression, and you're not going to get it right all the time. I'm not going to get it right all the time with Kegwin, but the majority of the time, I'm going to love her as Christ loved the church. I'm going to do that. But there's times that I mess up and that I've got to turn away from that, ask forgiveness, say sorry, and then the important thing is not go back to that, not do it again. There's got to be change. There's got to be change in us. You know, Billy Graham said many people have just enough natural religion to make them immune to the real thing. He said many people have enough natural religion to make them immune to the real thing. Are we immune to the gospel impacting our lives? Because if we're not immune, if we're allowing God, there's got to be change in our lives. And this, our lives, you know, we sometimes hold on to it, and then we realize Christ calls us to actually give it to Him and give our lives to Him fully, and then sometimes we want it back. And so there's this constantly, you know, we want to keep our lives. It's nice doing what I like to do. Isn't that so? Who likes to do what they like to do? We've all got those things that we enjoy doing, and this is our time. This is my time. This is the things that I like to do. This is my life. And so we try to hold on to this. But the reality is that, you know what? No one, not one of us sitting here can hold on to life. Will Murray had this like beautiful expression. He called this, it's like a train. You're on this train, and the train's, you know, going into eternity, and it's life, actually. But one day, you're going to get off this train of life. One day, there's the bus conductor that's going to come for his ticket, you know, and you've got to give him that ticket. And Will's passed, a good friend of mine, he's passed, and he's with the Lord. His time came, his ticket came. The reality is every one of us are on this train. Everyone, we've got the choice of this life, whether we're going to be rooted into Jesus or we're going to be rooted into what we like and what we enjoy. But the end of the day, we're going to be held accountable before Him. We're going to have to be held to account in how we've lived our life. And so why not now, while you've got time? The Bible says, you know, rather that we fall on the rock than the rock falls on us. In other words, rather that we come before Jesus before that time comes where judgment comes to our lives. And so I'd like to go to Matthew 16, verse 21 to 27. And this is where Jesus is predicts his death, and he's talking to his disciples. And so this is them doing life over here. You know, this is a discussion. And so we get a picture of what's happening and just a normal discussion. And then it says there, verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly. Okay, we got the same translation. Okay, cool. Okay, that's great. He began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religion, of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. So he's telling them what's going to happen. But Peter took him aside and began reprimanding him, saying, for saying such things. He said, heaven forbid, Lord, that he said, this will never happen to you. You know, there's a real concern coming from Peter. And what does Jesus do? Jesus turns to Peter and he says to him, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." And so there's this, like, we can come with this worldly or human point of view to the Lord, and it's Paul. Peter is serious there. He doesn't want this to happen to Jesus, but this needs to happen to Jesus. The word says to fulfill all righteousness, and so he goes and then he says, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way." And I want to highlight that. If anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. And that's what we, most of us try and do, is hold on to those things. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And verse 26. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." And so there is a time coming where the Lord will judge what we do on this earth. And that conductor will come for his ticket, in a sense, in our lives. There will be that day that we move from this place into eternity. And today, actually, we can know that that move into eternity can be a joyful experience. To know him, or not to fear him. Not to live in that fear of, actually, I haven't given my life. I haven't. I've lived my life for myself and not for Christ. I don't think we can honestly say that we are a true follower of Christ unless we give up our way for his way. There's no way. If we look at Scripture, there's no other way that we can live our way and not be a believer. There has to be this giving up of our life to allow his life in our lives. Unless our lives are centered around Christ. Are our lives centered around him? Is everything we do, if we think about our day tomorrow, and it might be work, it might be hard labor, it might be sitting behind a desk, is it actually for him and to reach others, or is it just for ourselves? And we have to earn an income. But there's a motivation of our heart that in everything we do to the Lord. That has to grip us. That's part of actually being rooted in to Christ, is that actually everything that I do is to have that moment to share the gospel, have that moment to reflect Christ, have that moment to love my wife like Christ loved the church, have that moment where I'm able to work as unto the Lord for my boss. Not for my boss, but for the Lord. Anybody heard of Jim Elliot? Huh? And he made a statement, Jim Elliot. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And Jim Elliot was a young missionary that went to Waurani tribe in Ecuador. And he basically got there to evangelize, and him and his four friends, and they basically got stabbed to death on the shore. and then they discarded their bodies into the river. And he wrote this in his diary. He's no fool. He gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And you might say, well, you know, okay, he lived dangerously. He heard the Lord. He felt the Lord's call to go to Ecuador. And, Ecuador. And there was a risk. He knew the risk. But yet he wrote in his diary that. But the evidence of Jesus in his life came 2 years later when his wife and daughter went to that same tribe that had killed them and lived with them for 2 years. And this tribe couldn't believe that the forgiveness that this mother and this wife had given them. You know, and he was young, 29, when he died. The age of my daughter. How many of you are like 21? I mean 29, around 30. At that age, your life gone, poured out actually for the king. And his life and the four other guys with him were a seed actually for the gospel into that area. And because of that, that whole tribe came to know the Lord. Is there evidence of Jesus in our lives? I'm not saying we've got to go and die on a shore. But the reality is every one of us are faced with choices where we put the Lord first. And so Jesus is a call for us to follow him. And Matthew 10 verse 37 to 39 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, if you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. That's very harsh words. Hey? If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And Jim had that clear in his mind. That's why he wrote those words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We are actually, from that scripture, Jesus is telling us, he's inspiring us to live as though we were dead. Dead to the world, dead to the things that our desires. And so Romans 13, I'd like to, there's a word that came, and there's, the Lord wants to accelerate our lives with him. And I think, Alex, were you? You had a word, and that word was, what was it?
Accelerate.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was a word that Alex felt to bring, you know. And there's this urgency, actually, in our lives. There's an urgency to do what the Lord wants, you know. And the Lord, he's faithful. He speaks to every one of us. Even as you're sitting here now, the Lord can drop something in your spirit and he can speak to you and say, this area, I want you to give over to me. There's an urgency that we actually need to bear fruit. There's an urgency to actually allow God in so that there can be an acceleration in our lives of the gifts that God has put on us so that we can see, we can bear much fruit, as the word said. Okay, and so verse 11, it says, this is all the more urgent. He says, for you to know how late it is. It's late. In other words, time's running out. Time is running out. Okay, there is the scripture. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So, remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Now, that comes back to that we mentioned earlier. We don't live our lives quietly. We live our lives loud. Every one of us, how we live, we think maybe no one will know that we are Christian. But they'll see it in how we live. They'll see it whether we are not living or we're living a life where we're not proclaiming the gospel, where we're not showing who he is. And he goes on and says, so our lives are visible for everyone to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, and this is our key, is clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And so I want to change that. I want to just take that evil out, because we all read that and we think, I don't have evil desires. There's not, I mean, I'm, hey? But there are desires in me that are contrary, actually, to the word and what God wants. And there's pursuits in my life that are not pursuits after him. And so there's this, like, as I clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't let myself even think about those things that I desire, we clothe ourselves with Jesus. Even as, you know, even as the Lord is, yeah, and he's speaking to us, there's areas that he's saying that actually, what are those areas that he's calling us to lay down? That actually his life may be more evident in you. Because that's what he wants. He wants to show those around through your life the life of God inside of you. This is the treasure that we have, is Jesus in us. And we can shine it to the world. But the Lord wants to do something in you and in me. And there's an area where he's calling us to lay down. And so I want to give an opportunity for you. I'm not going to ask for guys to lift up hands. But there's an area, if we're listening to the Lord, and this is so key, is that if we're listening to the Lord, we graft it in, there's something that the Lord will show you. There's an aspect that actually I need to take away my roots of, as that, and root it into Christ. I need to be grafted in properly, hearing and getting the nourishing sap from God. And he wants to bear fruit in my life. But there's an area where actually he wants more surrender. He wants me to carry my cross. He wants me to do it his way and not my way. So maybe you can close your eyes and let's just give five minutes just to allow the Lord to speak to us. Scripture says that instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we want to clothe ourselves with you, Lord Jesus. We want to, Lord, put you on, Lord. We want to have you just work in areas of our lives. We don't want to think of ways how to fulfill our desires. We want to have a heart change to have your desires in us. And so, Lord, I pray, God, just even in this moment, that you come by your Spirit. I'm gonna be quiet and maybe just got a bit of music in the background, but I want you to present your heart to the Lord. Whether you've been serving the Lord 50 years, 60 years, 2 months, 1 month, you know, he can speak to you. Because he is the vine and he will direct you. He will give some of his nourishing sap, in a sense, as you graft it into him. He's going to feed you.